The desert wind is a raider. This is the Silver and Black Today podcast. The latest in Raiders news, views, and interviews from the home of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. Check out the only independent news source covering the Raiders based in Las Vegas. And now your host, Scott Goldbranson.
Welcome back, Raider Nation. Are you ready for some football? I'm not talking about training camp. I'm not talking about practice. Well, it is practice. Let's face it. Preseason game, Seattle Seahawks coming up on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. The first game, Raider game that is, at Allegiant Stadium with fans. It was a practice this week. Fans were out there, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. First, just a little personal thing. I lost my dad on Friday. Just want to dedicate this podcast to the memory of my father, Paul, and appreciate all the well wishes from everybody out there. And joining me today is my co-host, no stranger to anyone in Raider Nation, the Archduke of Avocado, the Knight of Knowledge, Mr. Mo Moten. Mo, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. Big respects to your dad. Just wanted to get that out of the way first.
Well, I appreciate
before
that.
Anything. But I'm excited. I mean, it's not regular season football, but we're almost there. And I see the fans are getting, there's a little more interest. A lot of people took the summer off before preseason started, and now they're back, and a lot of Raider debates going on social media, so I'm ready to get to it.
Yeah, it's a nice way to put it, debates. There are some good ones out there, and you often, and of course, Mo covers the NFL. He covers the Raiders, of course, has done it for us at Silver and Black Today for a long time on the radio, here on the podcast, and of course on the website, and also a major contributor over at Bleacher Report, where he covers the entire NFL. There's nobody who works, and with all due respect to men and women in the NFL media, Mo works just as hard or harder than any of them. So he's getting busy and he's getting geared up for his big football season as we roll into preseason. And just a reminder, make sure you check out, we are covering Raiders camp day by day up on VegasSportsToday.com. So make sure you check out the website, check out reports there from myself, Kirk Kern, who is our editor-in-chief now, and Kirk also covers the Raiders. He'll be doing most of the game coverage in Las Vegas this year. We'll do a couple road games, including I'll be up in Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So now that I'm in Ohio, I can actually get up there pretty quickly. So we're going to do that as well as everything else going on in the world of Vegas sports at VegasSportsToday.com. But Mo, we jump in now, and of course, we've gone into camp, and I want to start with sort of where we started. When we look back 15 days ago now, when camp started out in Henderson at the Intermountain Healthcare Training Center, there were big questions around this team, right, going into camp. One of them was not Derek Carr, thank God, for 1 year.
Are you sure about that?
I know some people, it's their whole existence, and it'll never go away. A point taken, and you're always right with that, for sure. But when I look at this camp, for me, and I want to hear what you have to say about this, but for me, going into this camp, there's a lot of questions, of course, as there is every year with a team who finishes around 500 or a little bit below, as the Raiders have done for the last few seasons. But when you look at the questions going into camp, for me, because of what happened last year, it was about three things: defense, defense, and defense, right? And so you look at that. Of course, you have the offensive line. Big changes there. Gabe Jackson's gone. Trent Brown's gone. Rodney Hudson is gone. How will they gel? How will they perform? For you, though, Mo, covering this team, covering the NFL, what are the biggest questions for you when you look back 2 weeks ago as they rolled into camp as to what this Raiders team might need to do, what they needed to look at before they hit the preseason, and of course, before they hit the regular season?
I've said this countless times, but I think the Raiders' 2021 season is going to come down to how well that offensive line plays together. Mm. I think people underestimate the cohesiveness an offensive line needs to have to play well. Of course, that quarterback-center exchange is very important. A lot of people don't talk about it because usually it goes smoothly until there's a fumble or a high snap or a low snap. But, you know, Andre James is going to have to fill some big cleats, and he hasn't played a lot. I know a lot of people talk about that game when he stepped in, or a couple of games when he stepped in and played well, but how is he as a full-time starter? And again, not just him, but that entire offensive line. You could possibly have three new full-time starters, depending on what happens at right guard between Denzel Good and John Simpson. That is a battle that I think that people should keep an eye on, but it's a possibility that John Simpson could win that, and he'll be the third, new offensive linemen on that group. So that's something to look at. Of course, Richie Incognito has to stay healthy. Yeah. Missed a lot of time last year. The other thing I'm looking at, the wide receivers. Everyone knows Darren Waller is the top target on that offense. But if you're going to have a complete passing attack, you don't necessarily need a wide receiver one, but you're going to need two young guys in Henry Ruggs and Bryant Edwards to step up.
Yeah, and I was going to start talking about defense, but I like where you went with the offense. So we're going to go that direction first. We'll get back to the defense in a minute, and particularly one player I want to talk about. But you look at that offensive line, and you're right, that you have to be able to protect the quarterback in the NFL. You have to be able to really be able to move that offense, especially with John Gruden and running the ball. Yes, they got Kenyon Martin to spell Josh Jacobs, which hopefully means Jacobs can play an entire season for the first time in his career without getting injured and being worn out. But you look at that line. You start with Colton Miller, left tackle. Of course, all the attention is on Colton Miller. He's getting a lot of praise. He has progressed nicely as a player after so many people, including a lot of hardcore Raider fans, thought he was overdrafted, but he's done well. Then you have Richie Incognito. At that age, you just don't know, right? Yes, he's healthy. He says he's coming in. He's looked good in camp so far. Then Andre James, you mentioned at center, replacing the beloved Rodney Hudson in Raider Nation there. Then Denzel Good at right guard. And then Alex Leatherwood, the rookie, over at right tackle. When you look at this line, there's some guys that you're going to need to step up there. And I think one of the guys, Mo, that is really interesting, and we're hearing great buzz from our colleagues out of Henderson about, and he spoke to the media today, and I got some sound I'll play here in a minute, but that's John Simpson. Because if Richie Incognito, you got to figure, even at Incognito's age, even if he plays well and does everything everybody thinks he can do as a veteran, you just, at that age, you expect a guy to miss time here and there, right? He might miss a game here, or he might need to come out early, whatever it may be. So John Simpson and his development after being drafted last year by the Raiders, coming out, he's one guy that you really need to see make a big step up. And so far, that's what we're hearing he's done. And he talked to the media this week, and I want to play a little bit and get your reaction here about John Simpson and his own development and how he talks about that new revamped, remade offensive line. Here's John Simpson.
Oh, for sure. Having guys like Richie and Denzel, and even the guys in the past, like they would just help you and stuff like that. And I just felt like the chemistry, even from last year, was just we all like gel together. It don't matter if you're a first string, second string, third string. We all want to help each other to be better and the best that we can be. It's a lot of competition in the room, and it don't really feel like it. We all feel like brothers, and we just try to be the best that we can be every day. So I think that has a lot to do with why we gel together and just we're all just ready to improve and just be better, best that we can be.
So there you go, John Simpson, Mo, and I mean, he speaks to there about that room being competitive, but that room gelling well together. And I think with an offensive line, obviously we're not going to see some of these guys in the preseason game, so we won't really start to see how this unit performs until week one. How long, though, are you going to expect this unit to go out there and play before they find their stride?
I give it a quarter of the season, assuming that the right side of that line plays all three preseason games, and I do expect that because even if it's not Denzel Good starting, as you said, can you really depend on Richie Incognito to play every game in a 17-game season? Mm. He's missed 18 since he's come back to the Raiders. He's played 14, missed 18. So a lot of people are saying, "Oh, Richie Incognito's back. We're going to be better." And I'm thinking, "Well, have you not noticed that Richie Incognito has missed a lot of time? I know he had a major injury last year, and he played three quarters of the season in his first year back with the Raiders. But you can't really rely on him at the age of 37, 38 years old, coming off of a significant injury. So you have to assume that John Simpson is going to play one way or another, whether it's on the left side or the right side. But I expect at least a quarter of the season there could be some choppiness. There could be some issues, some lapses in pass protection, and I think that's going to lead to maybe Derek Carr being a little timid with the football. He may resort to more dump offs early in the season and then air it out later in the season as that line gels. But you have to give that line some time to gel, especially what they're going up against. I mean, the Ravens in the first week, you got the Steelers in the second week, the Dolphins. Their pass rush is no laughing matter. you know, it's going to be tough coming out of the gate. So those guys are going to be tested right away.
Yeah, and to me, that's the one thing that, you know, Raider fans are pretty excited right now, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be. And it's not that I am negative about the team. I look at the schedule, though, and I you pointed out two games to start the season. That's difficult. And the other thing, too, with this offensive line, to your great point about Incognito, I'm not really worried about Miller. I think he's going to be fine. Obviously, Denzel Good has played well. Alex Leatherwood, he's a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes, so we'll see how that goes. But Andre James, the quarterback, and they can talk about them working on the exchange, right? The exchange between the center and the quarterback. Rodney Hudson's been there. They had that relationship. They had that rhythm that a quarterback and a center need to have. Now you throw Andre James, and it's nothing against Andre James. It's just familiarity with one another. To me, that's going to be another thing to watch early on in the season, because two tough games to start the season, you can't afford turnovers in those types of games, and the center quarterback exchange is something to watch, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that stadium, even though the Raiders are going to be home, it's going to be loud. I know Derek Carr is probably going to say, tell the crowd, quiet down the line of scrimmage, but, you know, especially when they go on the road, those stadiums are going to be loud. Players are going to have to readjust after not playing in front of fans last year, so that's going to be an adjustment. But with these new guys coming in, it's all about chemistry, and I think they need as many snaps as they can get during the preseason. And I wouldn't be mad if Raiders win a couple of overtime games and those guys got some extra snaps, because I just feel like this offensive line, if it goes south, the season could go south pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Now, if Andre James is the guy the Raiders think he is, and remember they gave him an extension already, which I thought was pretty questionable, but they gave him the extension, obviously they believe in him. If he is what they think he is, then they should be fine.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And then, of course, the rest of the offense, while we're talking about offense, we still see Darren Waller has not been at practice. He was at the practice at Allegiant Stadium this past weekend, where he was just in street clothes. He didn't play, didn't participate like many guys didn't, but he's not been in practice at all. Coach Gruden said that, hey, nothing to worry about. We're just being really careful with him. I have no problem with that. Listen, a guy like Darren Waller, players like that, yeah, they got to get in game shape and all that stuff, but Darren Waller was in pretty good shape in the offseason. We saw what he was up to. But then there's murmurs about, is he holding out, which I don't think so, because you don't show up at practice when you hold out. So I'm not really worried about that. But again, it gets back to the offense getting into a rhythm. And yes, you have Bryan Edwards, you have Hunter Renfrow, you have, of course, Henry Ruggs, who needs to make that next big step up. You have new additions like John Brown out there as well. And then, of course, Foster Moreau, who's gotten more snaps, which is great, because I think Foster Moreau was underutilized last year. But when you look at that receiving core and what they need to do and what this offense needs to do with that new offensive line, what about that? What's the concern there for you when you look at that offensive receiving core?
My concern is pretty much the obvious. Now, I've been on social media and I've been watching plenty of camps. There's a ton of buzz with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is catching everything at Dallas Cowboys camp. I know Raider fans don't want to hear that, but he is. and there's buzz about guys like Laviska Shenault, Jacksonville, second-year wide receiver. Is Justin Jefferson going to be able to outdo his 1,400-yard season? And there's a lot of buzz about all these wide receivers. And if you're a Raider fan, you've been paying attention to Henry Ruggs and the good things Derek Carr says. So he's violent out of his roots. He's bulked up. He's better off the line of scrimmage. I saw a superlative comparing Bryan Edwards to Randy Moss. Shout out to Levi Edwards. SuperRaiders.com. Shout out to him. I'm not making fun of him, but I'm saying that the superlatives are out there for the Raiders wide receivers too, but they have to show it. And I remember a press conference that Derek Carr did in June. And usually Derek Carr is very positive. He always says positive things. Never hear a negative aspect out of Derek Carr's mouth about his teammates. But he did say, you know, we have to see it on the field.
Right.
And I think that's important with this wide receiver core. You have to see it on the field. I think Hunter Renfrow is probably the guy that I'm safest with among the young guys. I think he knows what he's doing out of the slot. He's pretty much a guy that you can pencil in for maybe 700-800 yards this year with an extra game on the schedule. I'm really high on Hunter Renfrow this year because he has that rapport with Derek Carr. He has shown what he can do on the pro level. Now, again, it boils down to Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards. Can they take that next step up? The superlatives are out there, but they have to show it against a lot of defenders in the preseason. I think Raiders fans would feel a lot better if they could see Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards against real defenders scoring touchdowns and making great plays on the field.
Right, and just like last year, there was a lot of hype, too, around those guys, right? I mean, Bryan Edwards, it's like a carbon copy from last year. Oh, this guy's making great catches. He's doing this. He's doing that. And then, of course, he couldn't stay on the field, which was his problem in college, too, right? He's a gifted receiver. He's got everything you want. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. He's got the size and all of that. But at the same time, per Derek Carr, right, you got to show it on the field. And so it'll be interesting, and I think you could see that right away as they get going. And also what the coach calls, right? I mean, what Gruden calls and what Derek Carr has the confidence. He's got to have the confidence. That's where we talked about it last year, Mo, on Raider Nation Radio, right? Which is part of the issue with Henry Ruggs last year wasn't just that he needed to improve his routes, which he did. Also that at times he wasn't highlighted. But also you have to have the confidence of your quarterback. If you don't, he's not going to go to you.
The other thing is, and a lot of people don't talk about this, is when he's outside and he's near the sideline, he has to pull in those catches. Sometimes that he would pull in a catch, but he would be out of bounds.
Right.
And I think Mayock touched on it a little bit. He has to have body control. Mm-hmm. I think for a smaller wide receiver, sometimes that's tough, because if you're getting knocked around by defenders, you have to be able to stay in bounds with the football. But I did want to ask you about a certain wide receiver who, I guess, half of Raider Nation is split on him and half of Raider Nation is kind of out. Zay Jones, mm-hmm. because John Gruden seems very high on Zay Jones. And I wouldn't say high on Zay Jones, but I thought he would contribute more than he did last year, because he is a former second round pick and he did have some flashes with the Buffalo Bills before he came to the Raiders. I don't see Zay Jones making major contributions. I don't listen to a lot of what Gruden says. Sometimes he'll hype up a player and then you find out that player does absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I forgot who it was, but I think it was Ryan Grant. A couple of years ago,
yep.
Gruden talked highly of Ryan Grant. Ryan Grant did squat during the regular season. I am there with Zay Jones. And it's not because Zay Jones is not a good football player. I just think with the guys they have at the top of the depth chart, and you're bringing in John Brown, if Willie Snead makes the roster, I don't see where Zay Jones makes any contributions.
No, and that's the thing I said when Gruden early in this camp was talked on and on about Zay Jones, was here we go again with Zay Jones. Okay, so if John Gruden believes that Zay Jones is that gifted of a receiver, then why doesn't he get snaps? I mean, in the regular season. Now, he's had some, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to make a difference, you're right. He's a former second-round draft pick. And look, I'm not one of those people out there, Mo, that after a guy plays 1 year, I give up on him and say he's a bust, like some people are doing with Ruggs, okay? I think a guy sometimes, especially when they get into the pro game, it takes them a little bit. It might take them 2 or 3 years to get to that point. But we've seen him. We've seen the Marcel Aitman love in past years as well. And those guys seem to be close. They seem to be great camp guys. But then when it comes to the regular season, they just don't break into the lineup that much. So I agree with you on that one. And to me, maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe he'll make a step up this year. And it's this year is the Zay Jones year. We'll see. But he's sitting there behind Bryan Edwards. And to me, it's no question that you want Bryan Edwards to perform, because of all the intangibles I told you about earlier when it comes to his athletic ability, his size, his hands, everything. So we'll see how that goes. Now, on the other thing on the offense here is running back, right? So this offense has to be able to run the ball effectively. They have Josh Jacobs. They're a very gifted player, a fine young man who's not been able to stay on the field for whatever reason, because of injury, whether it's getting beat up and being used too much, whatever it is, it's happened. So they go out, they get Kenyon Drake. I like the Drake signing, because then if Josh Jacobs can't go, or if you need to spell him, you have a guy who can carry the load. I'm not saying Kenyon Drake should be a number one starter in the NFL at this point in his career, but to me, I feel a little more comfortable with that. But how big of a year is this for Josh Jacobs? Not a make or break year per se, but at the same time, Mo, I think you have to see Josh Jacobs make that next step, be able to do better, be able to stay healthier, be able to stay on the field so the Raiders can use him.
Raiders fans are not going to like what I have to say about Josh Jones.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to put that out there.
That's all right. You tell it like it is always, man.
I'm just going to say the signing of Kenyon Drake, to me, shrinks Josh Jacobs' role.
Mm.
And I'm not saying Josh Jacobs is going to be under 1,000 yards this year. He may still surpass 1,000 yards on the ground. But now you don't have to run him into the ground. I think that's a positive, that you don't have to run him maybe 15, 16 times a game. Now you can rest him if he needs it. If he's banged up a little bit, you just toss Kenyon Drake in there. I'm one of those people who believe Kenyon Drake can still be a starter in the league, and I think he can carry the load, which he did do in Arizona. Now, he didn't catch a whole lot in Arizona, but he was their main ball carrier.
Right.
But now you can give Drake 10 to 12 rush attempts. You can give Josh Jacobs 12 to 14. So I don't think his numbers are going to surpass what he did last year as a rookie. I actually think he'll barely cross 1,000 yards. I don't think he's going to get a lot of targets because I think most of those targets will go to Kenyon Drake because he can catch the football. Kenyon Drake has two seasons with 50-plus receptions.
Right.
And he talked about it on SiriusXM. He said he didn't catch a lot of passes in Arizona. He wasn't necessarily happy about it because he is a versatile playmaker. But he's going to get snaps potentially at wide receiver this year. And I think that's going to open up the offense. That's going to give the Raiders another dimension to their offense. And it's going to take away from Josh Jacobs' role. Again, some people will see that as a negative. I think it keeps him healthy for the duration of the season. So he's at full health. He's not hobbled. He doesn't have a bad knee or a gimpy ankle or whatever. I think having both those guys healthy for the duration of the season helps that ground attack, especially if that offensive line is clicking. Those two guys, Drake and Josh Jacobs, they're gonna pretty much eat behind that line if they could stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And Kenyon Drake, not a lot bigger than Josh Jacobs, but he is a bit bigger. I mean, he's 6'1". He weighs less than Josh Jacobs. But I also think, too, that some of those situations where you have to run between the tackles and you take a beating, you're able to now split those snaps between those two guys. And I'll tell you what, man, running back in the NFL, you look at the history and just cutting back carries a little bit makes a huge difference for a player, especially now when you have a 17-game season. And you have that extra game is going to be big. The other thing, Raider fans, and I love the guy too because he's a good guy, and he's when he does play well, it's very exciting to watch because it's old smash mouth football, and that's Alec Ingold. I think though that Alec Ingold really they need to be able to use him more effectively. He blocks great at times. He can improve there, but how important will he be for that offense to really get going this season?
I really think he can be the guy that you can give goal line carries to. If you don't want to run Josh Jacobs or have Josh Jacobs leap over a pile, then you could just hand it off to Alec Ingold. I think he can get the job done. Gruden, as we know, loves his fullbacks. So I think Alec Ingold will get some looks as a ball carrier and a receiver. I'm not saying he's going to pile up a bunch of yards, but I think he'll have some opportunities, some situations where he could score some touchdowns. But really quick, Scott.
Yeah.
I brought up a situation where maybe the Raiders bring in another running back, a well-known running back. Some guys might know him as All Day AP. I don't know. Maybe a Hall of Famer one day. But I brought up that scenario simply because, as we know, Jalen Richard is out indefinitely with a foot injury. And I think Jalen Richard was already on the cut line. Once they brought in Kenyon Drake, who can catch passes out of the backfield, he's learning, he's picking up the blocking schemes. And if he does, I think Jalen Richard is going to be out. I don't want to get us cut off the line here, but when you talk about the vaccine and Jalen Richard's injury, I think the combination of things is going to lead him to the scrap pile once the team cuts down to 53 men on the roster. So I know the Raiders signed Bo Scarborough. I know he's an Alabama guy, and Raiders love their Alabama players and Clemson players. But I think if you want a bruiser, because that's what Bo is, he's an in-between attack. He's running in between the tackles, doesn't catch a lot of passes, more of a bruiser. If you want a bruiser, a guy who just runs straight downhill, why not give a call to Adrian Peterson? That's what he does best, run downhill.
Yeah, in fact, we talked about him last year, too, and the kind of guy who would have been good for the Raiders, especially with that veteran leadership in that room. Even though Kenyon Drake, you know, obviously has a little more experience than Josh Drake, they're still pretty young, and to have a guy like Adrian Peterson, who's still running the ball really well. I mean, you see what he did in Washington, what he was able to do there. It was fantastic. So I think that's an opportunity as well. So I would not be disappointed to see that along the transaction wire as we get them in our email daily, and that's about to heat up here as we get close to first cuts. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, that offense, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the line. We're going to watch that closely, and we'll talk about that a lot more. All right, we're going to step aside, take one quick break. When we come back with Mo, we'll talk a little bit about the defense, and we're going to talk about a defensive player that I'm really hyped about personally, whose name is not Yannick Ngakoue, and we'll talk about that when we come back here on Silver and Black Today, brought to you by VegasSportsToday.com. All right, we're back here. Mo Moten, Scott Gilbranson, talking Raider football. Hope you guys are all doing well as we head up to the Raiders' first preseason game in a very hot Las Vegas, but it's inside where it's nice and cool. But fans, and a lot of them, will be at Allegiant Stadium for the first ever game with fans against the Seattle Seahawks this coming Saturday. By the way, Mo, did you? I don't know if you saw this today. I'm sure you did because fans are going a little crazy about it. But the Raiders versus Seahawks is the most expensive resale ticket in the preseason, okay? The average ticket price at Allegiant Stadium for the crazy, passionate, best fans in football, Raider Nation, is $267.88. That's 170% higher than the number two most expensive ticket, which is the New England Patriots versus the Washington football team, which is $99.45. Mo, Raider Nation is just chomping at the bit to see their team in person. It doesn't matter if it's third or fourth stringers. They're ready to go in. But I know people, especially since you didn't get used to it last year, all the fans who've not been to a Raider game, who were used to paying the low prices in Oakland at the Coliseum, now are going to get hit with sticker shock with a preseason game. I cannot imagine spending $300 on a preseason game.
Hey, if you're balling, you got an action hustle out there, you Raiders fans, do your thing. We know how passionate Raiders fans are about their
yeah.
team.
Yeah,
if they got it, they're going to pay for it. Yeah.
Oh, especially because, you know, after last year when nobody could go to a game, the pent up mm-hmm. demand is palpable, right. And they're going to be ready to go. And it's going to be I mean, you will not hear a louder preseason game in the history of the NFL. I'm just going to go on record to say that. I really think Raider Nation is going to bring it on Saturday, and the Seahawks, who pride themselves on their 12th man and having the sound meter go off the charts and all that, they're going to get I think socked in the face with the Las Vegas and the new black hole and all those guys out there. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, Mo, so I'm going to switch now to the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, lots of questions on the defense because they pretty much had to blow up most of it coming into the season after what happened last year and what happened over the last, better part of half a decade with this defense, especially since we saw the Raiders really go young in the draft, go sign some free agents that didn't work out, and it just happened that way. So they go out this year, they get Yannick Ngakoue, they go sign Solomon Thomas, they sign Quentin Jefferson, then they also go out and they sign a guy that I'm really excited about, and that's Gerald McCoy. And that's what I want to talk about, because Gerald McCoy, to me, yes, he's 33 years old, okay? But he's got 60 sacks over 9 seasons. Injury last year, he signed as a free agent in Dallas. Pec injury kept him out the entire season. So the last time he played was 2019, Carolina. 16 games, 5 sacks, okay? And if you look at it, yes, he's in the twilight of his career. But with Ngakoue next to him, with the veteran leadership that he brings, along with the young guys like Crosby and the young guys like Jonathan Hankins, and of course, Carl Nassib, who's looking for a bounce back here, Cleland Furl, who we're waiting for to kind of make that next big step up. To me, this is a guy I think you should get excited about. And here, I'm going to play some clips, Mo, and get your comment on it. Because here's Gerald McCoy talked with the media this week, and he talked about coming back. And to me, it's so important in that locker room, especially with this, the way this defense has been and some of the dysfunction even we saw last year under Paul Gunther, and then the firing of Paul Gunther and the finishing of the season with Rod Marinelli. But here's Gerald McCoy talking about injury and being out of football for a year and what that meant and what it means for him to come back. This is him from the Jim Rome Show this week. It's Gerald McCoy.
Oh, life comes at you different ways, man, and you never know. Right? Things, you know, unexpected things happen all the time in life, but it's not about what happens, about how you react to it. And I could have easily folded and said, you know what, man, I'm older. What's the point in fighting to get back? You know, let me just get healthy, call it a career, and let it be over with. But, man, I'm from the south side of Oklahoma City, man. We don't fold. We fight. So I got tested mentally, emotionally, physically, but, you know, God helped me get back. And I just fought and fought and fought. And I always teach my kids to never quit. And I always teach them when times get tough, what happens? You know, it's easy to be the man when things are going great. But I want to see how mentally tough you can be when times are rough. And there's no way I could teach them that if I didn't show them and lead by example. So I had to get back.
Well, there you go, Gerald McCoy. I just love that message, Mo, and having a guy like that in the locker room. Now, he's still got to make the team. Don't get me wrong. We've seen and heard good things out of camp so far. He's only been there a short time. Still probably got to get in game shape. But talk about Gerald McCoy. And it, I mean, to me, there's no real downside because if he doesn't work out, you let him go. But the upside here, if he can get back to just being a contributor, that combined with the presence in the locker room with a bunch of those young guys in this remade defense under Gus Bradley, I think the upside's massive.
Yeah, absolutely. The upside is massive. And I think if he gets back on the field and he's healthy, he can give you a handful of sacks as he's done 8 straight seasons with at least 5 sacks. And if you ask guys about him in Tampa Bay, he spent most of his career there. They'll all say that he's a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
And I think the Raiders needed that in a veteran to come in and be a great locker room guy and, of course, contribute on the field. But as you mentioned it, you touched on it a little bit. Last season, the Raiders kind of lost their focus in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. In that playoff race they were in, players kind of alluded to, you know, kind of lapses in practice. Derek Carr talked about it a little bit before he retracted his statement. Alec Ingold talked about it. Max Crosby talked about it after the season, how the team may have lost their way in the second half because of lack of focus. I think having a veteran like Gerald McCoy is very important. As soon as they sign him, you see clips of him on the Raiders' official Twitter handle. He's out there coaching up guys already. He's showing guys how to, you know, shed tackles, get to the quarterback. I think that's very, very important for this defense. They need a guy like him in the front seven.
Yeah, having him at that nose tackle position, if he can make a dent there, you know, Jonathan Hankins is a nice player, right? But I think Gerald McCoy is a difference maker if he's full speed, if he's fully healthy. The other thing, too, and I just liked what he had to say this week when he had media availability, so I'm going to play a couple more clips from Gerald McCoy. Here's one, too, and this is more for Raider fans out there because, you know, why do guys want to sign with the Raiders, right? We remember when John Gruden took all that gruff for saying that guys are calling him on the phone his first season because they want to come play for the Raiders. Well, here's Gerald McCoy on why and why he's excited to play for the Raiders and what he thinks this team can do.
I believe this team is going to catch a lot of people off guard, man. You know, they were a few, you know, a few plays last year from winning 10 games. You know, they won 8 games, but they were so just a few plays off from winning, you know, another 2, 3, 4 games. And I believe that, you know, bringing in Coach Bradley and his philosophy and bringing in a couple extra vets like Yannick, you know, Yannick is he knows how to play this game, man. He's gotten to the quarterback a lot. He's had a lot of success in this league. You know, Casey Hayward. You bring in myself. We got a lot of vets we bring in, and it helps. You teach guys how to be pros. You know, I always speak about the difference in being a professional, being a pro. When you get drafted, or whether you're not drafted, if you sign a contract to a team, you're a professional football player. That doesn't make you a pro. That doesn't make you know how to watch film. That doesn't make you know how to take care of your body off the field. It doesn't make you know how to know what formations you're about to see and use a certain technique. That's where the vets come in. And the grind of the vets teaching the young guys how to be pros and the rough days, the tough days, and bringing it all together. And then we have such a great coach, and Coach Gruden, man, he's grinding us every day, but he also takes care of us, especially the vets. We going to work, and then we're going to rest. And we do so much team camaraderie stuff, man. I'm really excited about what this team could be. I'm so excited about getting going. And opening day, man, it's going to be a great one.
So there's Gerald McCoy talking with Jim Rome. Thanks to Jim Rome for that audio. And the thing with that, Mo, we talked about him being a good locker room guy. That's another example of it. But talking about being a professional versus being a pro, right? So a contract does not make you a pro. And I think that message goes beyond that defensive line room. That message goes to guys like Trayvon Mullen, Keyshawn Nixon, Damon Arnett, and Jonathan Abram. And that's the kind of message that these guys now on the wider defense and with Gus Bradley as coach is vital, because if you're going to get a Trayvon Mullen or a Jonathan Abram to perform up to their ability, we heard issues last year, like you said, with focus, with maturity. And I think that that is so very important and a key for this defense. Hey, even if this defense can get to middle of the road, they're going to put their team in a much better position to win and make the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he wasn't talking directly to Damon Arnett, but Damon Arnett should be listening to yes, that message, because exactly. Mayock said that you know, beyond the field stuff with Damon Arnette, he has to apply himself away from the field. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Damon Arnette came back, bulked up, got his body in shape, but he may not start this year. He may be a backup to Casey Hayward. And Casey Hayward's another guy, I think, comes in as a former captain under Gus Bradley and with the Los Angeles Chargers. Guys like that, Gerald McCoy, Casey Hayward, even Carl Joseph, guys who've been around the league for a bit, can teach these young guys, like, not only on the field what to do when you see a certain coverage, when you see a certain play, what to do, but what to do off the field. And I think that's very important, especially when you're going through practices in the heat of the season. And 17 games, it's a long season. You're going through months and months of practice and games and the entire grind. You just have to be mentally dialed in. And which takes me to something that blew up on Twitter a couple of days ago. Arden Key had a lot to say about the Raiders defense, right? And I just want to put out there that I wish Arden Key the best. I hope he has a great career. I hope he goes to San Francisco and he lives up to his potential. But when he stepped up to the podium, I heard zero accountability.
Right.
I heard they. The reason I feel is because them. This is what happened to me. I didn't hear any type of, well, I could have done better. Yeah, it wasn't a good fit, but this is what I could have done better to make the situation to produce more big plays. This is what I could have changed. This is what I could have put forth. I didn't hear any accountability. And to me, when you bring in guys like Gerald McCoy, and you bring in guys like Casey Hayward, even Carl Joseph, and I'm hearing it from Yannick Ngakoue too, kind of a leadership type of voice. I think those guys are going to be the ones to hold younger players like Arden Key accountable.
Right.
And I think you have to stop pointing the finger away from you and saying, what can I do? Maybe the situation isn't perfect. What situation is perfect in our lives? How many perfect situations do you come across in your lifetime? Sometimes you have to make the best of a less than ideal situation. And right. I think having veterans will help that young team do that.
Right. Being professional versus just being a pro because you signed a contract. And by the way, too, Mo Hurst, who's a nice young guy and everything, and I got to spend time with him before COVID hit, you know, at various events and all that stuff. Really respect the kid. But at the same time, he also had a little bit of that. It wasn't as direct and as profuse as Arden Key was. But I think that's why they're no longer with the Raiders. And they can blame the situation with the Raiders if they want. And I'm not saying it didn't go well. And the whole situation with Gunther and Gruden maybe keeping that thing going too long, that's certainly on the coach. But at the same time, you're right. You got to step up and be accountable. And Mo, you look at the competitive nature of this camp on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the front seven. Let's look at defensive tackle, right? They go out, you have Quentin Jefferson, you have Solomon Thomas, you have Darius Filon, you have Vickers and Darius Stills. That's musical chairs right there, right? Those guys are going to have to just knock down, drag it out to see who makes that team. When you look at that set of defensive tackles and some of the free agents they brought in, who do you like there and who do you think is going to maybe step up and that we might see really jump to the forefront of being a starter there for the Raiders up front?
I like Quentin Jefferson. A lot of people are not talking about him because he's not a high sacks guy. But if you looked at where he's been previously with the Bills and the Seahawks, I believe, mm-hmm. He's been a solid defender. He can also get to the quarterback. He's not going to play 75% of the snaps. He may play 50-60. But I think he'll be a solid rotational piece. I like Darius Stills coming out of West Virginia. I know he's on the NFI list with a minor injury. He said he'll be back soon. I was really hoping that he would make the roster because I think he can make a difference if he can stay healthy there in the middle. I don't know about Darius Filon. I know he has a history with Gus Bradley, but I don't think he makes it. Solomon Thomas, has been an interesting player when brought up in conversation because initially I didn't think he would make the roster.
Right.
But I'm seeing reports now that the Raiders may use him inside and outside, sort of kind of like Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think those two guys, I think their career pathways are very similar. Two guys who were drafted. A lot of people felt higher than they should have, and they don't have the pass rush skill set to rack up a lot of sacks, but they have versatility. So I see Solomon Thomas in a similar light as Cleveland Farrell, where they're going to be playing on rundowns on the outside, possibly kicking inside in sub packages. So I don't want to reverse course on what I think about Solomon Thomas making the roster or not. I still think it's going to be tough for him with Gerald McCoy in there, especially if he's healthy and makes the roster. But Solomon Thomas is a guy I'm watching during the preseason to see how healthy he is, because remember, he is coming off of a significant injury.
Yeah, and I know a lot of folks going into this season and going into this first preseason game want to put a lot of focus on that young defensive backfield. The additions, as you said, of Casey Hayward, which I think was a massive one, and then, of course, Carl Joseph in his second stint with the Raiders. Those are big signings potentially. But right now, I think that front seven, we know from watching this team over the last 4 years, they've been unable to muster a pass rush. So to me, to help those guys on the back end develop more, they've got to be good up front. And then you look at the linebackers, and I got to say this, you know where I stand. I don't care if Tanner Muse is listed number one on the depth chart. He is not number one. Okay. This is like the Zay Jones situation to me. Now, I'm not, again, Tanner Muse, hey, if he proves me wrong, I'm totally fine with it. I'm wrong all the time, as my wife tells me. So I have no problem whatsoever if Tanner Muse proves me wrong. I just don't see it. I've never seen it. And I guess we'll get a sense for it when we see him play in some preseason games. But you, of course, have that linebacking core. We're seeing, again, Javon White, who's the free agent out of UNLV right there in Las Vegas. He's been a little bit of a talk of camp. It's been a little bit of a murmur, but it's there. And then, of course, Corey Littleton, who I really believe, in my heart of hearts, Mo, I think Corey Littleton's going to come out. He's going to get back to the Corey Littleton that this team signed when he left the Rams.
A lot of buzz about the Raiders linebacking core. And I'm going to start off with the Tanner Muse situation, because that your take made me laugh. But I'll say this. The whole Tanner Muse discussion on social media to me is not even that deep. Because he's the third... He's basically going to play in the base alignment. And we all know now in the NFL, you play a spread defense where you have two linebackers. You're mainly playing two primary linebackers and an extra defensive back. So even if he is the quote-unquote starter, he's going to play, a third of the snaps, if that?
Right.
You know, you really want to focus on Corey Littleton and Nicholas Morrow, who are going to be your primary linebackers in most alignments. Now, you mentioned Corey Littleton, and I'm with you on that one. A good football player just doesn't become a borderline starter over the course of a year.
Right.
I think Corey Littleton was, I don't want to call him a victim, but he didn't do well under Paul Gunther's scheme. I think he's talked about it. A little too much thinking, a little less reacting.
Right.
And I think Gus Bradley's simplified scheme will help him react more than he's thinking, and you'll see close to the play that you stole the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the other thing with Nick Kwiatkowski, a lot of fans made a big stink about this. Why is he a backup if he played? He had a decent season with the Raiders last year. Why is he a backup, and why is he not, you know, pegged to get more snaps? And what I will say about this is, he ran a 4.7. I know 40s aren't everything,
right?
But if you listen to Gus Bradley this offseason, he wants speed on the field, especially at his linebacker position. And Morrow ran a 4.5 coming out of Greenville. So I don't want to say I saw this coming, but I'm not surprised that he went with a faster linebacker.
Well, and let's face it. I mean, we talk about, I mean, Nicholas Morrow to me is a great story, right? Here's a guy, not only, like you said, where he came out of Greenville, but also the fact that he's just worked his ass off. I mean, he's become a better football player to the point where he's there, right? He's doing well. And I think with Nick Kwiatkowski, to your point, look, Nick Kwiatkowski to me, when they signed him, this wasn't a Corey Littleton signing. It was a good, solid linebacker that you're going to use. And to your point, in the older system, it was a different situation. Now you need to rely more on the speed. So you got to go with a guy who's going to do it. And Nick Kwiatkowski will get his share of snaps. I have no doubt about it. He's a good pro, but he's not a great pro. He's not a guy like Corey Littleton who can be a game changer when he's playing at top of his game. So to me, I'm not surprised by that either. And by the way, this whole depth chart is really unofficial. We won't know what happens until we get through this preseason, this new shortened preseason. But certainly that to me is big. And guys like Javon White, of course, I'm an alum of UNLV, so I root for the kid. And we'll see if he makes that next step up. But to me, and then you have Divine Diablo, who of course injured early in camp, has not been out there. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, so much of this is hype. But if you look at, I think that's what's lost on people, Mo. And you bring up a great point, which is look at the system. And maybe a lot of fans, if they haven't looked at what Gus Bradley likes or listened to what he said, because that's exactly what he said about the speed and being able to fly around the ball, you look at that, and it's not just how good the player is, it's do they fit the system and what they want to accomplish and what they want to do on the field in their sets.
Absolutely. And I think he mentioned this too. He wants guys who can, I know people hear this a lot, he wants linebackers who run sideline to sideline.
Right.
And that means you can cover laterally. because you got running backs catching out of the backfield now at high rate. You got tight ends catching footballs now. So you got to be able to guard the seam, side to sideline with the running backs. And again, you need that speed. But I just want to mention the quick X factor here, and that's, as we heard, Wright visited the Raiders, left without a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So if they bring in a KJ Wright, I'm wondering what then happens to the depth chart. Because if they bring in KJ Wright, I believe Tanner Muse, then no way he starts. Because he's probably, KJ Wright's probably going to play that Sam, that strong side linebacker position.
Right.
KJ Wright has the size for it. He knows the system. He's played under Gus Bradley for 2 years. I know he's probably has, maybe he has other offers. Maybe he's waiting for other offers to develop as injuries come in during the preseason. But I think if the Raiders were to bring in a guy like KJ Wright, it goes back to your point about Gerald McCoy. Now you have another grizzled veteran who can teach these young guys how to prepare for a football game, how to practice, how right. to take care of their bodies. And I think KJ Wright fits into that mold.
Yeah, definitely. And we're gonna save a wider discussion around the defensive backs for next time, Mo. But when you look at the start of this preseason and what happens with this defensive back, who's under more pressure? Is it Damon Arnette or is it Jonathan Abram? Now, Jonathan Abram moving to that box safety is going to help him significantly, I believe. And it seems like we're hearing some of the stories, like our friends like Vinny Bonsignor have been writing, has talked about Abrams being more subdued in camp, being more mature in camp and all of that. Who's under more pressure here to really perform and perform early, Arnette or Abram?
That's close, but I'm going to easily say John Abram, simply because, number one, the Raiders have to make a decision on his rookie contract. As you know, first-rounders have a fifth-year option. So the Raiders can decline that option and it would put him in a contract year next year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got pressure to perform because he's got a contract situation. The other thing is Raiders brought in multiple players who could play his box position. Carl Joseph, Tyree Gillespie, even Divine Diablo could play that position that yep. John Abram is in the box. So if he doesn't play well, the Raiders could have a short hook for him and pull him out or restrict the snaps a little bit, bring in another player who maybe may fill the job better than he can. So he's under immediate pressure where he has guys behind him, and he has the long-term pressure where the team has to make a decision on his contract. Whereas Damon Arnette, even if he doesn't play, if he's a backup, let's say, behind Casey Hayward, he's still only in the second year of his deal. Right. Unless the Raiders trade him, he would still have another year to kind of prove himself because Casey Hayward's probably going to be one and done at his age. So there's still time for Damon Arnette. Whereas John Abram, he has to perform now.
Yeah, great point. And we'll get into, like I said, next time we'll talk a lot more about the defensive backs, especially after we get to see them in action on Saturday in Las Vegas against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Mo, we'll close out the show talking a little bit about that. Of course, preseason games for football geeks like us and those that cover the sport, you know, we're watching all sorts of individual performances and little things here and there. But when you look at this first game, what are you going to be watching most? Is it going to be that one side of the offensive line? Is it going to be the defensive backs? Is it going to be the spectacular Tanner Muse, or what are you looking for in this first game as you watch the Raiders go out in front of a rabid Raiders crowd in Las Vegas?
I would say offensive line, because that's, to me, that's the most important, but that's no fun. Who sits there and watches a preseason game for the offensive line?
Their
let's
parents?
Be honest. Right. So I'm going to go with defensive backs. And I think Trayvon Merrick, I saw reports that he's pretty good in one-on-one coverage. Mm-hmm. Raiders haven't really had that since Charles Woodson, playing mm-hmm. that position. So I want to see him in the backfield flying around, making tackles, maybe grab a pick or two. And I want to see who wins that slot cornerback position. LaMarcus Joyner had that spot for a couple years. Of course, they let him go. He's with the Jets now. He's in my neck of the woods. But I want to see who's the guy that steps up there. Is it Hobbs?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of buzz about Hobbs coming in out of Indiana. And a lot of people are saying, watch out for him. But I will caution people. He, like Amik Robinson, who's also competing to play for that slot, play in that slot position, he's moving from outside to inside.
Yep.
So he's going to have to technically learn a new position. As we know, Nevin Lawson has to serve, I believe, is a two-game suspension.
Yes,
so two games. There's one guy is going to – somebody is going to start there and it's not going to be Nevin Lawson the first 2 weeks. So Amik Robinson, Hobbs, maybe Rasul Douglas. Who is it going to be starting inside that slot position? I want to see who stands out. during the preseason in that role.
Yeah, I agree with you on the cornerbacks there too as well and positioning. And I want to see, to me too, it's always interesting not only where those guys are lined up, but how Gus Bradley's going to use these guys and what we're going to see. Of course, they're not going to give away too much in a preseason game, but just to see the positioning and situations that he puts specific players in, I think will be very telling even after the first week, because they got to go to the roster cuts right away as well. So we're going to see some of these guys on the depth chart are going to be gone in a week, and to see how Gus Bradley is thinking, you'll get a little insight, very, very little, because they're very guarded clearly in the preseason, but we'll get a sense for where they're at. And I agree with you at that slot position at cornerback. Nate Hobbs, again, he's on top with Tanner Muse, Zay Jones, as being kind of the coach love fest player of the week of camp. And so we'll see how he does out there. But I'm intrigued by him. But you're right, switching the position, it's difficult. We saw last year with Robertson and the action he did get and how poorly he looked at time. He's still a player that I like a lot and root for, just because he's one of those types of players that plays over his head at times and does really good at it. So we'll have to see. And Trayvon Moehrig, same thing. Man, he looks like the kind of guy that you can get really excited about. So it'll be fun to watch those young guys out on the field with some live action with some other adults on the field, and all the fluff can go away and we'll see some performance as these pros line up against one another as well. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Silver and Black Today here with Mo Moten and Scott Gilbranson. By the way, Mo, we got some big news we're going to announce next week about a special project we're working on. And I know our listeners always give me crap when I tease them with something and then don't give it to them. but
it's the name of the game. You got to do it.
You got to do it, right? So make sure you tune in next week. We'll have much announcements. It'll be up on the website. It'll be here. It'll be elsewhere. That's all I can say. But I'm really excited about something we're going to be doing with Mo. So make sure you do that. Also, don't forget to follow Mo on Twitter, because he's one of the only people on Twitter who speaks with reason constantly. And I include myself in that because every once in a while I lose my head. But it's at Mo, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N, Mo Moten. You can follow me as well at LV Gully. And also make sure you check out Mo's great work all over the place on Bleacher Report when it comes to the NFL. And I know, Mo, you got a piece coming out, a real interesting piece about a certain player in Florida, correct?
Absolutely. He's a very polarizing player, but a lot of people are going to raise their eyebrows at this take. But it's funny because we were talking off air about the connection between this player and quarterback Derek Carr. And that's the only teaser I'm going to put out.
Yes. So just if you follow Mo on Twitter, if you already don't, most of Raider Nation already does, as Mo unfortunately knows at time, because there's that small percentage of Raider Nation that is crazy and thinks Mo is biased, which is really interesting because he's the only guy who I never see any bias from. But nonetheless, if you follow him on Twitter at Mo Moten, you will see the piece we're talking about, which drops this week, and you definitely don't want to miss that. I'd love to hear people. We'll talk about it on the next show, Mo, because the comparison with Derek Carr in this player and some of what happens with them on and off the field is interesting, so we'll have to talk about that. But, Mo, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for being with us today.
Appreciate you having me on, Scott. As you said, we'll talk next week about the piece and a lot of other things, and we'll have the preseason game to talk about.
Yeah, well,
of course, people are gonna overanalyze that. So just remember, if Henry Ruggs drops a pass in that preseason game, he's definitely a bust.
He's definitely a bust in a preseason game. Oh, by the way, I will tell you this too, because I started the show talking about how from one camp, it's great that we don't have to talk about Derek Carr, but that's until you see Marcus Mariota on the field, and then we'll have to see how much better he is, right?
McGloin effect.
And those five Nathan Peterman people are going to come out too, you know.
Shout out to Matt Holter, who does great work. He loves Nathan Peterman, by the way.
Yeah, because Peterman will throw two touchdown passes late in the game, and suddenly there's going to be a quarterback competition for what I don't know. Yeah. But nonetheless, there will be those people as well. All right, for Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbranson. Make sure you check out VegasSportsToday.com. Also, do us a favor, subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends in Raider Nation to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating wherever you get it. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it on Odyssey. You can get it on Stitcher. Wherever you listen to podcasts or audio, you will find this podcast, and we certainly appreciate your patronage there. For Mo, I'm Scott Gilbranson. We'll talk to you next time here on Silver and Black Today. Take care, Raider Nation.
This has been the Silver and Black Today podcast. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, may the autumn wind always be at your back.